A leviathan, Deirdre realized, peering more intently at the screen. The image was gray and grainy, but she could make out the beast's streamlined shape, studded with what looked to her like little pods. No, she remembered from her earlier briefings, those are fins, hundreds of fins that propel the animal through the water. Jaeger asked, any of those sharp things around? None in sight, Dorn replied. So far, so good, the engineer muttered. We've got to get closer, Corvus said. Closer. Without glancing away from the screens, Dorn said, slowly. We'll approach slowly. We don't want to alarm the creature.
Alarm it? Deirdre asked silently. How could we frighten something that big, that powerful? We're like a little child's toy compared to it.
Then Corvus said, hey, it's coming apart.
Catherine Westfall stood alone in the observation deck, staring out at the hard, unblinking myriads of stars, blazing their light against the infinite blackness of the universe. Like people, she thought. We each shine with our own light, struggling against the darkness of inevitable death. But is death truly inevitable? With rejuvenation therapies, one can live for hundreds of years, she told herself. And in another century or two, we'll know even more and be able to extend our lifespans even further. Death needn't be inevitable, not if you have access to the latest medical techniques. And to have access to the latest medical techniques, you need money, Westfall reminded herself. Money and power. She thought back to her childhood, when she had neither. To her mother, drudging away in restaurant kitchens, night after night, year after year, coming home exhausted, throwing herself on her bed, only to get up again the next day and go back to work. For what? For me, Mother always said, so that I could have a better life. Yes, I found a better life. I married it. I saw my chance and I took it. I'll never be poor again. Never be powerless. Never have to worry that if I don't please this one or that one, I'll be thrown out into the street. She remembered her mother's death, wretched and shriveled from the tumors that fed on her body. The best medical care in the world couldn't save Mother. All they could do was to ease her pain at the end. And Elaine, the sister she never knew, the scientists couldn't save her. They killed her, really. If it wasn't for men like Grant Archer and that Muzarewa person, my sister would still be alive today. The stars were slowly moving across the glass steel window of the observation deck. Westfall smiled inwardly as she imagined herself the center of the universe, with all the stars of heaven revolving around her. A pleasant thought, she felt. That's the kind of power that could keep you safe forever. And then the stars began to dim, as Jupiter's mighty radiance flooded the observation deck. Even before the body of the massive planet swung into view, its powerful glow dimmed the stars themselves. Westfall felt the warmth of that glow touching her cheek, making her suddenly nervous, frightened. Stand your ground, she told herself. Face your fears. Jupiter rose from beneath her feet, a mammoth, overwhelming presence, a true god, streaked with whirling, racing clouds, dotted with storms, powerful and all-engulfing. Catherine felt the terror she'd known when strange men would come home with her mother, laughing, powerful men who patted her on the head and shooed her off to her own corner of the room. She hated those men, and she hated her mother for needing them. I don't need anyone, she told herself. I destroy anyone who stands between me and safety. I'll destroy Archer. He'll never become chairman of the IAA. I will. Face your fears, she said to herself, as she squared her shoulders and stared into Jupiter's swirling, seething clouds. "You think you can conquer me, giant planet, king of the gods? You're nothing but a tool for me to use. I'm not frightened of you. I'm not. I'm not." She laughed aloud at the sight of mighty Jupiter. "Archer's destruction will begin down there," Catherine Westfall told herself, "with the destruction of that ship he sent into those clouds, with the death of the people he sent into that ocean."
Dissociation. The ache in her midsection had grown into a knot that throbbed in her chest. But Deirdre tried to ignore it as she stood by her sensor console, watching the Leviathan. Andy swayed in the perfluorocarbon liquid beside her. Dorn was watching the sensor display on a screen of his control console, Jaeger beside him, bending forward eagerly. "It's coming apart, all right," Corvus said. "Look!" He was excited, but in the perfluorocarbon his voice still sounded deep, almost sonorous. "We've caught it in the act of reproducing," said Dorn. "Jovian pornography," Jaeger cracked. Deirdre shook her head at him. "Get closer," Corvus urged. "No," Deirdre said, surprising herself. "Stay back." Dorn half turned, a questioning expression on the human side of his face. "If it's reproducing, we should give it as much privacy as we can," Deirdre said.
"It's just an animal," Jaeger argued. "It doesn't have any feelings of modesty."
"How do you know?"
Corvus asked. "Animals have feelings," said Deirdre. "They can get very annoyed when you bother them at the wrong time."
"You wouldn't want to annoy something that big," Corvus added.
Dorn said,
"I think discretion is the better part of valor in this case."
Deirdre smiled to herself, thinking, Henry IV, Part 1, Act 5, Scene 3. She asked Dorn, "Can the spectrograph laser work at this range?"
"It should pick up something," Dorn replied.
"Could you activate it for me, please?"
"On console 2.
Deirdre floated over to the console built into the compartment's curved bulkhead and slipped into the footloops there. On its screen, she saw the spectrograph's deep green laser beam lancing through the dark water. She touched the electronic keyboard, and the visual display was immediately replaced by a string of alphanumerics. Plenty of chemical species in the water around the creature, Deirdre saw. The water's saturated with the Jovian equivalent of pheromones and sex hormones. She heard Jaeger sneer,
"Exoporn."
Max was still watching Dorn's main screen and the Leviathan shaking itself apart.
"We could sell this footage to some of the freaks back Earthside."
"Oh, Max," Deirdre chided. Dorn said,
"We can stay at this distance and observe without..."
Suddenly, he stiffened.
"Sharks approaching."
Leviathan saw the alien clearly, hovering in the distance. "Stay together," it commanded its member parts. "We can't dissociate while a stranger is near." But several of the mindless flagella had already broken free and were floating off. Leviathan tried to resist the mounting urge to dissociate. It would be too dangerous with the alien so close. We must stay together. Sensor parts were drifting away. Deep within its armored hide, Leviathan's vital organs were pulsing with the need to disassemble, to end their unity and begin the ancient passion of dissociation and recombination. With stunning swiftness, the need overpowered Leviathan. Everything else dwindled into nothingness. Nothing else mattered. The gigantic creature surrendered to the impulse, to the shuddering ecstasy of dissociating. The presence